Welcome to the Science Witch Podcast, where we explore how science and witchcraft intersect, interact, and affirm one another. I'm your host, Angel, and for this episode, I did a one-on-one interview with kitchen witch extraordinaire and author Dawn Aurora Hunt about how to infuse magic into your daily practice. In this conversation, we talk about easy, low-input ways to infuse your cooking with intention and magic, ways to bring intention to your cooking, and our thoughts about how to source quality ingredients in these tariff times. I offer this in hopes y'all will find it inspirational as we are now full swing into the holidays and have lots of opportunities to bring magic to our kitchen and tables. So, without further ado, I present to you my conversation with Dawn Aurora Hunt, the Kitchen Witch. All right. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Science Witch Podcast. Today, I have a special guest that I've been very looking forward to speaking with since we met back in May. It's been a couple months since then when we're on this recording. Dawn, before we dive into the episode, I wanted you, as we like to do, to introduce yourself to our listeners who may be unfamiliar with your work.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. After a little bit of technical difficulties and miscommunication, we worked it out. My name is Dawn Aurora Hunt. I am the owner and founder of Cucina Aurora Kitchen Witchery. I write books on kitchen witchcraft and food magic. I teach classes on kitchen witchcraft and food magic. I've been a practicing witch for 1,000 years, mm-hmm. give or take, since the 1990s, the ancient mm-hmm. times. And I'm happy to be here. My primary focus of witchcraft is kitchen witchcraft, but I dabble in all kinds of other things. And one of the things I love about being a witch particularly is that I don't have to choose my practice. I can do whatever I want. And I love the freedom of that. But I would identify as a kitchen witch for sure.
Yes, yes. And actually, I have your book right here.
Thank you.
And prior to this interview with you, I tried out two of your recipes. Right now, tomato season is in its peak. Yeah. So this past weekend, I tried, my partner made the pasta with peppers and tomato. Mm-hmm. And he is totally stealing the roasted garlic procedure that you had in that recipe for our own little cooking show that I had mentioned, cooking mushrooms with Marty that he can't eat. And then last night I made the prosciutto, and mm-hmm. both were just so, so tasty and so delicious. So I highly recommend a Kitchen Witch's Guide to Recipes for Love and Romance. I have the signed copy right here. And this was the first time I think I've interviewed the author of a cookbook. So you talk about sort of your journey to becoming a witch and what your ethos is around kitchen witchcraft. But then you also have recipes. And one of the things that I found that is really appealing about witchcraft or kitchen witchcraft is that it is one of these forms of witchcraft or veins of witchcraft where you are infusing a essential function with magic. And for those of us who are very busy, I mean, I know I lack a lot of time. I used to do a lot more specific rituals under the full moon and spells, but nowadays I don't have time. So kitchen witchcraft is very appealing because it's sort of like a low energy investment for something that is still very magical. So can you talk a little bit about your approach to kitchen witchcraft and why you recommend it as a way to infuse magic in your everyday life?
Absolutely. And there's so much to unpack in what you just said. As I said earlier, I've been practicing witch for a really long time, right? And I think especially when we first get going, right? We're doing every ritual, we're doing the long versions of everything. And throughout our lives, priorities change, things shift, you move, you have a new job, you have a new baby, you get in a new relationship, you get out of a relationship, you deal with life, death, you deal with all kinds of things as human beings do. And sometimes doing large rituals or a lot of higher magic is hard to do at certain points of life. Not in any way saying discounting that or that I don't do those things, because I absolutely do. But on a daily practice, a way to literally practice your magic in an everyday, tangible way, for me, has really become how to take something I'm already doing and go, hang on a second. This is magic. This is alchemy. This is meditative. This is, it will glean the results I want. It's a spiritual practice. And we can do that with other rituals as well, right? So in and outside of the kitchen, you can make your shower every day a cleansing ritual, right? Just by how you think about it and taking a moment to breathe into what you're doing when you're in the shower. Similarly, we can use kitchen witchcraft or the principles, basic principles of kitchen witchcraft, to bring a little bit of magic into our everyday lives in a real, tangible, practical way that doesn't intrude on our daily routines, on our family members, our plans for work, or if we're on vacation. Like, you can do these things all the time because you are already doing them. And what do I mean by that is simple things. You and I are sitting here drinking coffee. I made this coffee this morning. Well, my husband, he put it in the coffee pot, but in preparing my cup of coffee and stirring clockwise, doing intention, thinking about the day I want to have, taking three deep breaths. The way I make that every morning is a ritual because it's something I do with intention, right? So as I have gotten deeper into my practice of kitchen witchcraft, I have realized that this is something that is so tangible and accessible. One of the things that you said before is it is a low energy. And I'm going to say 100,000% yes. It can be big energy. Think about, like, oh, if you're having a holiday or you're having a party at your house, right? You are going to put in so much effort into creating that meal. At least I do, right? So if I'm having a big Samhain dinner at my house, I'm having a big ritual meal. I will cook for 3 days. I make huge meals. I'm marinating, roasting, stewing. I'm doing all these things for days and days and days, right? So that we can celebrate that. And that's great because I have the time and the space to do that. But on a daily basis, maybe I don't. I suffer with a lot of autoimmune stuff. Maybe I don't have the physical energy to do those things. There are folks out there that have a lot of mental health struggles and a lot of physical health struggles, and maybe they can't get themselves under the full moon because it just doesn't line up with their care practice or their therapy practices. Well, guess what? You can stir yourself some cup of noodles in the microwave with intention. Add a little bit of extra basil, add a little bit of extra turmeric, and then you have a little spell recipe. And it is fully accessible no matter where you're at in your energy level, in your time level. And for me, that is a cornerstone of kitchen witchcraft, is that we all do it anyway, right?
And a way to infuse our lives with magic, even when we're doing something that is, in a lot of ways, a required thing for us to survive, is it's a mood right now, right? Because I feel the kind of witch I was even before, like, the pandemic, and the kind of witch I am now is very different. And I mean, there's still aspects that I bring along. Like, I definitely am still very much a plant witch. I love my plants. I love going in out and walks. I do a lot of, whenever we cook, we use herbs in the garden. And so that is a way to me to bring that into it. But I've really enjoyed going into the kitchen and finding ways to infuse food and that I'm making with magic. And your book has been very inspirational for that. One of the things that I really enjoy doing, and this is something I've talked about before, where I like to make kombucha. And this is a great way to like utilize a lot of excess fresh fruit. Like I work at an orchard, so I get a lot of fruit. And so I'll take it, I'll juice it, and then I'll take that juice and then I'll make kombucha. And kombucha is good because it has to sit for a while. So it's kind of like set it up and forget it. And that really appeals to me. I like to try to do it with the moon phases. Doesn't always work out that way, but that way I can sort of infuse magic into something that I then can drink later on, maybe 2 or 3 months later. And it sort of has that intention that I initially set in it that I can continue to bring into my life. So, what about some important practices and tools that are key to kitchen witchcraft? Because when I saw you at Spirit Northwest, you talked about, and this has been something now that I do every time I go to cook, is like washing your hands, which is honestly a food safety thing. I should have been doing this all along, but it wasn't something that stuck in my mind until you talked about it as a way to cleanse and magically. And so now I do it every time. And so, can you talk a little bit about just little small tweaks you can do to bring a kitchen witch practice to just your regular everyday cooking?
Absolutely. And I love that you said that. And I believe in the class, what I said specifically was wash your damn hands. Wash your damn hands. And like you said, like most people do it, or they do it without thinking about it, or some people don't do it at all when they're cooking for themselves. You should do it because, like you said, food safety. But because kitchen witchcraft is something that's easily accessible and you're doing practices already, for me, it's always about turning the light bulb, the light switch on. And re realizing, registering that when you're in the kitchen cooking a meal, preparing a meal, eating a meal, whether it's for yourself or others, is a magical act, right? It is a powerful act because you are doing something with intention, or you should be doing something with intention. So I say the top three things for me, where you could go right now today and start adding these practices into your daily life. The first thing is wash your damn hands. If you're going to cook a meal, prepare a meal, I don't care if you're just making toast. Wash your hands before and think about using the water as washing your day away, washing your stress away. If it's first thing in the morning, you're cleansing yourself from the night before, or you're cleansing your hands to do the work of the day. Coming up with a mantra of, for washing your hands that maybe you say every time, that is like, to bless the food, or to bless the hands that's going to make the food, or to find gratitude for something, because that food isn't coming from nowhere. It's not materializing out of nowhere. Either it's coming from the earth, or even if it's coming from the grocery store, somebody had to grow it, pick it, put it in the grocery store and ring you through the grocery counter, right? So gratitude is a huge part of that. So even if you're just washing your hands with any kind of intention, that's one thing that you could do. The other thing that you can do is you can set up a small kitchen altar. And what I mean by an altar is a space in your kitchen that you see. It could be your fridge for all I care. It could be the windowsill, right? Where you put four stones, one that represents earth, air, fire, and water, just to remind you that when you're in this space, what you are doing is sacred. Think about as many people in the world that don't have a kitchen, that don't have food, that cannot cook for themselves or others. What you are doing is sacred, right? So you need something, because we're visual creatures, we're still human beings, we have to remind ourselves this is a sacred act, and what we do in this space is sacred. And the third thing I would say is make sure that I like to have an apron where you put that apron on, and that apron acts as your ritual attire. So it kind of helps change your mind once you look at your kitchen altar and wash your hands and put your apron on. Then you can really start to prepare, because you are in the mindset of, I am cleansed, I am robed, I am dressed, I am ready in my sacred space to create something magical. But what is that? That's three steps that everybody can do right now today, right?
Yeah.
No matter what you could be making scrambled eggs. Like, you're probably gonna do those things anyway.
Where you are right now with your practice, what are some of your favorite ingredients to work with at the moment?
Well, like you said, as we're recording this, it is the height of tomato season.
Yes. And
tomatoes, if you remember from the class, when we were talking about like maybe our spirit foods and, yes. and our foods that we really connect with, tomatoes are mine. And the energy around tomatoes is about giving and receiving love, which it sounds kind of generic, but specifically that's the energy of when someone says, I appreciate you, or I think you're beautiful, instead of going, no, no, meh, 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 you go, oh my God, thank you. You know, and that's something that I really do struggle with, that kind of like impostery, not deserving of love feeling. So tomatoes for me are very, very powerful and allow me to kind of tap into that energy of, oh, I am worthy of love. And I'm also, it's okay to give it freely. It's okay to give love freely in that same kind of way. So tomatoes, again, right now for me, they're always at the top of my list, like always. I'm a little Italian meatball from New York. So tomatoes are kind of like in my blood. But right now in particular, I'll buy tomatoes from the farmer's market and just like cut them open and put a little salt and pepper and just eat them just the way that they are. There's such joy and true earth magic in something like that because it's so fresh and so connected. But we are going into the autumn, and here where I am on the East Coast, last couple of days have been like perfect autumn weather. Like it's like 70 degrees and the sun is shining and the leaves are starting to turn. And so my witchy little heart goes immediately to all those fall foods, apples, pumpkins. Cinnamon is very prevalent in my life in general. But I definitely am leaning into it more as the weather cools. It's a hearth and home spice for prosperity and abundance in the home. And so again, I think our witchy selves, we know these things, even if you're not really familiar with all the energies of foods and spices. And even if you don't work in those spaces, we gravitate as witches, we gravitate towards these things. And we go, gee, I just feel like making cinnamon rolls. I just feel like it, because our intuition is saying, oh, it's time to be putting that kind of energy and prosperity, abundance, blessings into our home as we go into the fall months. I do apologize if you can hear my cat yelling at me.
No, that's okay.
Did you hear
part
him?
Of the podcast.
Yeah, he's part of the podcast. He needs to sing the song of his people. He's obviously very unloved.
I'm not even going to edit this out. It's part of it.
that's Mr. Ollivander. And he really likes to be, he just wants to be heard. He just has a lot of feelings. So definitely into tomatoes, really into cinnamon. Right now, again, the weather is cooling and I'm just thinking about soup season. I'm just thinking about, you know, again, like there's no better time to be a kitchen witch than in the fall. You have bubbling pots of soup and things baking in the oven. And I feel like I think you mentioned before about how you were a different witch before the pandemic, and then the pandemic happened and now your practice is different. And I kind of feel the same way, but I also think that in general, people have become more attuned to being in the home and what our hearts and souls want and desire around the kitchen. And making food. You're talking about making kombucha, or people got into, you know, making sourdough during the pandemic because
I was one of those people.
Yeah. You had time on your hands, right? And you're like, Mom, I've always wanted to try this. And I think that has caused us to sort of start to reconnect and listen to our little witchy hearts when they say, I just feel like baking something.
Yeah.
You know, that's not arbitrary. That's spirit saying to you, make something magical, cook something, work with these ingredients. These particular ingredients have a meaning for you? What are they? And then how are you going to enjoy them and share them? Right. I truly believe that. And there are days where, as again, we get into these months, I will wake up on a Sunday morning and I'm just like, I need to bake. I just have to. And I'm not a big baker, but I will spend the first like 4 hours of the day just, I don't know what I have in the house. Then I'll just figure it out and throw stuff in the oven and just bake. Because my soul needs it. And I have no description for why that is.
I definitely got into sourdough during the pandemic and like everybody else, but I've continued to be into sourdough. And sourdough is a little more demanding than kombucha. Like kombucha, you can just like set it up and forget it. But sourdough, you have to feed every day. And then you have to like do the discard. But I like it because it's sort of like this bread pet that gives me magical trance, like alchemized, you know, fermented flour that I then can put into my recipes. I make a lot of breads. The process is like, I'll take fresh fruit, I will juice it, and then I'll take the pulp and then I'll put the pulp in bread. Because you can make more than just banana bread. You can make apple bread. Apple bread's next. I made plum bread, spiced plum bread. And it's great because it's just this loaf of delicious fruit bread that everyone loves. And then I always try to use it for the different seasons. And so, you know, some fruits are better than others to use it with. But where I live in the Willamette Valley, we have an amazing growing season where we have each type of fruit. So first off, we got strawberries, then cherries, then peaches. We just had our peach season end, and now we had plums just kind of ended. So now it's coming into apples and pear season. And so it's just each little season kind of has its own magical fruit that you can tap into. And I really love doing that. And baking is appealing for me because with my science background, it's nice because I mix everything up and then I put it in the machine and the machine does most of the work. I mean, you got to make sure this machine is working correctly, right? But other than that, it's a little more hands off. I mean, my partner, he doesn't like baking as much because he's very much a cooking kind of he likes to smell it, to taste it, to in the process of it. And I'm kind of like, all right, I'm going to set all this up. I'm going to do it in the right proportions and I'm going to put it in the oven and then I'll come back in an hour and it's done. And it's kind of funny how each of us, we're different in what we prefer and what we're good at. So
for sure. I mean, baking is chemistry. Like you got to get your proportions right. You got to measure everything. And that's probably why it's not my favorite thing. Cause like your partner, I'm much more of a cook. I want to, a little of this, a pinch of that. And you know, I want to make it like, I want to be like really artistic with it, you know, and just, I feel like this, you know, where in baking, you're like, no, you have to measure everything. It has to be perfect proportions. Otherwise it's going to be wonky when it comes out. And I have celiac disease, so I'm doing gluten-free baking. So you have to be even more precise. So it's not my favorite thing. The process of it is not my favorite thing, but the same is that need to work with the seasons. And I love that you brought that up, the different fruits and the different seasons, because what you're talking about is the connectivity between our spirit and the earth spirit and what the earth is giving, and what the earth is giving regionally is very different. So for you to be able, you say you work at an orchard, being able to see in real time what the earth is giving and use that in your practice. So you're connecting emotionally and spiritually with these foods that are of the earth, immediately of the earth. They're not sitting on a truck and being brought to a grocery store.
Yeah.
But then you're also nourishing your body, right? And you're nourishing the bodies of the people around you. And this is, for me, the core of kitchen witchcraft. And I might have mentioned this when we had our class, and I do kind of talk about it regularly, is that oftentimes magics like kitchen witchcraft, garden witchcraft, you know, they can be kind of like, I don't want to say poo-pooed, but they're not held in regard like high magic and, you know, psychic powers and those kinds of things. And I don't know why, because they're foundational. You know, when we look at ancient peoples and we look at how they connected with the earth and how they seem to know things about the seasons and how to talk to each other and how to live communally and how to care for the earth. It was because they were paying attention,
Right.
right?
They had to.
They had to survive. And our big brains and our ingenuity and our, technology is all amazing. We've forgotten that connective bit. And I think that has eroded some of our soul purpose and our spirit. And so when we're doing practices like kitchen witchcraft of cooking with the seasons, shopping locally at our farmers markets, visiting the local orchard and making kombucha, like you're now reconnecting because you're paying attention. You said before that your sourdough felt like your little bread baby, your little bread pet that you have to feed and you have to care for it because it's alive. It's alive. Like I'm gonna sound like Dr. Frankenstein, right? But like everything is vibrating with life energy. And we forget because we buy a loaf of Wonder Bread off the shelf that's sliced and void of life. But then you make it at home and you can see it's alive and you can see how much you have to care for it. And now it becomes a reciprocal relationship, right? And that feeds your spirit and your body, which is the magic of kitchen witchcraft, right?
It's really a beautiful thing. You can making bread is just a great experience. Even if you don't, even if you kind of like don't do it very well, it's still gonna come out pretty good. You know, it's one of those
Right.
things. So you mentioned about sourcing, and this was something we talked a little bit about also in your class that I wanted to bring up. And we were talking about why sourcing ingredients is important, and it's important to be intentional with your food. So I wanted maybe to pose that question to you here for our listeners as to what your thoughts are about source and providence and why it's so important in kitchen witchcraft and what your recommendation for our listeners and how that they can incorporate this into their own practice.
I have so many feelings. I have so many feelings about these things. Where do I start? We're going to start with the basics. The closer food is to earth, the more it vibrates with life energy, right? If you have a garden, and I'm the first one to tell you, I am not a gardener. I suck at gardening. Okay. But if you are a person who gardens and you go out into your yard and you have, I don't know, cucumbers growing and you grow a cucumber and you pull that cucumber off the vine and you take a bite, that cucumber is going to feel, taste, smell completely different than the cucumber you bought at the grocery store, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There is a reason for that, many, many, many reasons for that. If you want to work with kitchen witchcraft, the more life energy that your food has, the closer to earth it is, the more potent your magic will be, right? The more you're taking in that life energy that you're taking in that high vibration, right? Now, I'm going to say all of this with the caveat of I understand that I am a very privileged person to live in a place and have the ability to purchase and source high quality ingredients from local farmers on a regular basis. I understand that is a privilege and not everyone has that option. So my best advice is do what you can when you can with the resources that you have available. I would love to tell you that I'm eating organic everything fresh from the earth all the time. That's not reality. But what I do is shop at the local farmers market when I can and buy things that are in season. When I am shopping at the grocery store, I'm looking for things that have whole ingredients in them. I'm looking for things that are less processed. I'm looking for things that are from smaller companies instead of larger companies for all of the reasons we've just talked about in terms of spiritual stuff and all of that. But on an environmental level, right? Less of a carbon footprint, less processing, less power plants, less all of that stuff. I think that we need to be aware of where our food comes from. And once we are aware of where our food comes from, then we can get back to that idea of connecting to the earth through our food, like we've just been talking about. Again, if you've got to shop at the local grocery store because that's the only place you can get food, do. That's important. But make better choices when you're there if you have the available funds to do so. And oftentimes we find that local foods, fresher foods, farmers markets, and things like that, they're actually less expensive and better quality. It's just a little bit of effort to go out and find where there's local farmers markets in your area. And of course, that becomes harder in the wintertime, but educate yourself just a little bit on what's growing in your region. Educate yourself a little bit on where's the local food pantry, and maybe they could direct you to places that have fresh fruits and vegetables. And if you're going to be a meat eater, and I am a meat eater, if you're going to be a meat eater, eat meat responsibly, right? And what I mean by that is look for humane labels, source out local meats from people that are, you know, raising cattle or raising chickens. Source these out when you can. Again, it's not a reality to do it all the time, but when you can, and you will notice a difference in the taste, the texture, and how it feels when you eat that food, right? How our bodies feel, how our spirits feel, how your vibrations change. Sourcing your ingredients and just being a little bit more mindful. Again, it's baby steps, right? Baby
I
steps.
mean, ideally, I would get everything from our local sources, but that's not quite the reality we live in. But yeah, I find that when I am able to, like, especially tomatoes. Tomatoes are one of those things that there's such a difference between what you buy in the store and then what you can taste when you can either grow it yourself or get it from somebody who's grown it in the place that you're at. Tomatoes lose so much of their taste whenever they're shipped. And a lot of times what, the big food producers will do is they'll pick them before they're ripe, and then they will just kind of ripe them in these certain types of refrigerated truck systems. And that just loses so much of the taste. So, especially with tomatoes, tomatoes are one of those things that I don't even want to mess with tomatoes that aren't in some way grown locally, because it's just like, it's not even worth it. They're not very good. So while we're on the topic of sourcing, I know right now we're in a weird time because everything is a lot more expensive. We're not really sure, like, what's going to happen as far as these stupid tariffs. But what we are seeing already is the prices on things that are not being produced here in these United States are going up. So coffee is going up. Chocolate is going to go up because we don't really produce much chocolate domestically. And
Correct.
so I was wondering what your thoughts are about being able to still utilize these kitchen witching ingredients, but yet being mindful about the changing dynamics of how expensive it is to source things.
This is a really hard topic to talk about because, as a kitchen witch, it affects me greatly. And also, my business, Cucina Roar Kitchen Witchery, is a gourmet foods business. And I make infused olive oil and I make coffee. And my prices are skyrocketing. And little companies like mine are going to be the first ones that are really severely damaged by what is happening in the world, in the administration, what's coming down the pike. I can tell you, my coffee beans that I supply from Guatemala are, they just went up $2 a pound. And I buy them by the 5 pound bag. So my price is just, and this happened like this week. So it's terrifying as a small business owner and as a kitchen witch, because the changing dynamics in our food landscape is crazy. And I do not think that most people or the layperson understands how that's going to affect your local small businesses, your local farms. So much of what we enjoy, we were talking before about cinnamon. Cinnamon doesn't grow in America.
No, it sure doesn't.
All those things, who likes Indian food? Curry doesn't grow in America. Coffee beans don't grow in America. The global trade is so important to the lifestyle that we have And the things that we do grow are now not going to be able to get to people on the other side of the world who enjoy those things. So it's terrifying. It's terrifying. My suggestions for navigating this craziness is, again, to do what you can as well as you can when you can, right? If your food budget is not going as far as it was, and most of us, it's not. Again, sourcing locally is your best option, right? Look at food pantries, look at local agriculture. Every single state, every single city has something on their website about local agriculture, and what's in season and where to get those things, and local farms, and where to source. So you might have to do a little bit more research and a little bit more legwork, but you will get a higher quality food item. You will get something that is spiritually more connected to the earth, and you will be helping your local economy and putting that money right back into your local economy. For example, I have a business and I do farmers markets, right? I pop up at farmers markets. In fact, that's what I'm doing today after this podcast. It's in my own town, and I will be going there selling my olive oil and my tomato sauce and all my little things. And while I am there, I go to every single booth and I'm like, okay, is there something here that I need? I buy muffins from this vendor for my husband. I buy a chicken from this vendor. I buy eggs from this vendor. And then they all buy something from me. So we're really all creating this reciprocal magic, and we're cooking with each other's foods. So we're participating in each other's lives in that way. And then also, we're dumping all of our money back into our neighbors and our communities. And that, I feel like, with all the crazy stuff that's going on globally in our larger country, bringing it, shrinking it back down to our local communities and starting from there is very, very powerful, and how we can kind of maintain our own sanities within our own spaces. And then hopefully that is a ripple effect to the next town over and the next town over, and then maybe your county and then maybe your state, right? At least that's what I'm doing. And that's the best I can do.
Yeah, and I also work at a farmer's market, and that's become one of my favorite things every Saturday. It's fun to go to each vendor and get to know
Yeah.
them as a community and continue to, source the best ingredients that I can. And one
Yeah.
of the other things with coffee, for instance, and we have a caffeinated beverage here that's native to the United States. So there's this potential for things like Yopon, for instance, to bring onto the scene. And it's not an exact coffee replacement, but it's a caffeinated tea that is native to the United States. And it's a pretty easy to grow shrub. It's very prevalent in the southeastern United States. So, I'm curious to see if some of our consumption starts to shift towards these more domestically available sources. But then again, it's still like, I mean, for small business owners like you, like olive oil, there's a very small percentage of olive oil that is produced here domestically. I mean, there are a few domestic producers, but they're not going to be able to meet the demand that importing from Italy does. And so, yeah, it's.
And specifically things like olive oil, wine, chocolate, coffee. These are commodity items, right? They're always going up and down. And obviously, I know quite a bit about olive oil because that's my business, but there's the region that grows the most olives. You have Spain, Italy, Turkey, Tunisia, Greece. That Spain in particular supplements 60% of global olive oil. Global. So even you have your California growers, right? Because California is really the only place in America that has the right soil conditions and weather conditions to grow olives on a large scale. They're still supplementing with Spanish olive oil, right? Because they don't. Same thing with grapes. You have places in the world, California, certain places in Oregon, certain places in New York, these pop-up areas of vineyards. But those places are still supplementing some of their wines with Spanish grapes, with French grapes, right?
Right.
So people don't really understand that's how that kind of work. You get it because you work
Right.
in on farms and stuff, but our world has been working this way for a very long time, and trading, and we now have a taste for things. I love the idea that there's this, as you mentioned it, caffeinated tea that's native to America, but I don't think we're gonna see, Dunkin' tea,
Dunkin'
Dunkin'
Yaupon.
Yaupon across America
Right.
in the next 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's taken so long for us to build these industries around food. And I mean, not for nothing, but the big corporations they're not going to have a problem. It's the little guys like me, right? So maybe we'll get lucky and we'll see some things like that pop up. I mean, you're seeing a lot of influx in terms of like mushroom coffee and stuff like that now. People are getting wise to the benefits, the health benefits of stuff like that. And I'm all for that. But do not take away my coffee. I will die. I will die without my coffee. I absolutely cannot function.
Yeah,
So
I
I
feel
think,
that.
right? So like, I love all those other things, but still, I can't live without it. I just think that we need to be, especially as witches, I think we need to be aware. I think we need to be intentional. I think our magic lies not only within our intention, but also in our action. How do we stand up against these things? Is we support things we do believe in. We put our money where our magic is. We vote with our money. We vote with our time.
Yes.
We vote with our choices. And how you spend your money and where you shop and who you support in terms of your local community and your state. And if everybody stopped going to the, I mean, look what happened with Target. Everybody
Yeah.
stopped going to Target and their profit margins are down, 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 right? That's how we, as the witches, as the communities, make impact and let our voices be known. And we can do that with food as well, right? If everybody stopped eating at fast food chains, they would have to change what they were doing, right? So yeah, eat
It's so
locally, buy
expensive
stuff
now
from your
to eat
farmer's market.
at fast food places now anyway. Like I remember the last
Right,
time I went
right.
to McDonald's for like an Egg McMuffin, a coffee and a hash brown. It was like $9 or $10. And
Yeah,
it's just
right.
like, I can't afford this. It's not good for
Right.
me anyway.
Right. If you were going
Yeah.
to spend $10 on a meal like that, why not go to like a local diner and actually
Right.
get like, let's get the eggs that are scrambled, that are, from the farm up the road. Why not? Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I understand I'm coming from a place of, a 45-year-old white lady with the privilege of buying local eggs. But I've been buying local eggs for the last 20 years or 15 years since I moved to New England. And local eggs, which I could buy at any in anybody's driveway, right? Because there's everybody lives here has chickens, or the local farmers market, or my friend up the road who has chickens. They're all like $5 a dozen, and they've always been $5 a dozen. Right. So when the egg prices went up because of the bird flu, a few, like it was like last year, the bird flu and all the egg prices were like $7, $8. The local chickens' eggs still were $5. Right. So buying locally and staying close to home, you can get some of that stability in the pricing because the guy growing tomatoes in his backyard doesn't need to charge you more for his tomatoes because his cost hasn't gone up. Right. So
Right,
keep
right.
these things in mind when you're
Yeah.
talking about, how do you implement kitchen witchcraft, spiritual practices, and also how do we navigate this crazy landscape? You can
Yeah.
do it through the lens of kitchen witchcraft and make an impact in your wallet, in your home, and in your community.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I wanted to talk about at least a few more things, but I think we're kind of coming close to our time here. So, to kind of close everything out, do you have any projects, events coming up that you would like to share with your listeners or anything you want to let us know about? So,
Oh my goodness.
yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Okay. So my latest published work is the Kitchen Witches Culinary Oracle Deck, which is really fun because it's all different cards that you can pull for insight and inspiration and guidance in the kitchen. and they're all food items or kitchen witchy tools. So you can use them on a daily basis for the energy guidance of that food and then incorporate that food into your diet. Or you can use it to come up with what am I going to cook for dinner tonight and stuff like that. So that's a really fun thing and it's doing very well and I'm really, really proud of it. Let's see. I've got a lot of events coming up locally here in New England. I do a lot of, there's a Celebrate Samhain event that's in Nashua, New Hampshire in October. There's all kinds of stuff. So you want to visit me at KuchinaAurora.com. You want to follow me at Kuchina Aurora on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And you want to sign up for my mailing list at KuchinaAurora.com because then you'll get like an email from me once a week that's like, where in the world is the Kitchen Witch? And it'll give you all of my information and recipes and stuff like that too.
And I highly recommend the recipes. They're amazing.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, Dawn, thank you so much for coming on and talking with me about all of your kitchen witching and wonderful work. I really appreciate this. And
thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to share this with our listeners. And yes. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm really glad we got to do this because
me too.
Yeah. Thank you for everything. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much to Dawn for coming on to the show to talk about food, kitchen witchcraft, and share some of her wisdom as a small business owner in these difficult times. If you would like to support her work, buy her books, or get some of her delicious ingredients, especially at her infused oils, check out her website at KuchinaAurora.com. Our Trans Telethon, which took place last month in Eugene, Oregon, and streamed on our Twitch site, is now up on YouTube. We raised $400 for the Rainbow Railroad and had an amazing show filled with comedy, music, and drag. We are already looking to plan for next year, the Trans Telethon 4, which I am realizing each year I need to start working on earlier and earlier. So stay tuned for more information about our next live show. Now that the holidays are upon us, I am trying to use my downtime during winter break to work on the podcast and Patreon. I am trying to use my downtime during winter break to work on the podcast and Patreon. I am also going to put out the first three episodes of Movies from Whenever, a podcast I am doing with my partner Rick about movies I haven't seen, and we watch together and decide if they aged well. I'll be putting the first three out on the Science Witch podcast feed before making a RSS feed specifically to launch it as a separate podcast. So keep an ear out for that sometimes towards the end of the month. Right now, I am lining up interviews for the next batch of episodes and writing some short form episodes for Patreon on the main RSS feed, including a special Yule episode featuring the Goddess of Night, Nyx, for our solstice episode. I'm also going to be doing another big mail out this month with stickers for our supporters at the $5 and $10 a month levels, along with some holiday cards, which might just be from previous years if I can't finish the design I'm working on this year in time, which, spoiler alert, is not going to happen. If you would like to support the podcast and help us offset some of the expenses to put this out, check us out on Patreon. You can support us for as little as $1 a month, which will give you access to early ad-free episodes, along with Patreon-only content like missing episodes I never published to the main RSS feed, and Patreon-exclusive episodes of our short-form series. I just finished recording the next installment of Tripping Through the Tarot on the High Priestess, which I am releasing via Patreon exclusively. At our next level of support, you will get mail in the form of stickers from our sticker exchange. Right now, that is the only way to access our stickers since I can't seem to get to log into the Etsy anymore. I plan on migrating to another online shop hopefully soon, looking at Shop Envy. But for now, if you want stickers, join Patreon or find me at a con or event. Finally, at the highest level of support, the Science Witch Coven, I am still offering birth chart and tarot readings via Zoom, or I can send you a report via text or email. I plan on discontinuing this at the end of the year, so this is your last chance to get a reading from me before this perk is officially retired. As always, the best way to support the podcast is sharing it with your fellow queerdos, and if you happen to like it, leave a review that helps make us more visible on the algorithm. We have a Discord server if you're looking for community and want to share memes or commiserate about the late-stage capitalism hellscape that we are all living in. You can find us on the social media at Science Witch Podcast on all the meta platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and Threads, and Science Witch Pod on Blue Sky. If you want to email us directly, you can reach out at questions at sciencewitchpodcast.com.
com. Finally, for show notes and transcripts, check out our website. Thank you for listening and supporting our podcast. Live long and prosper. Blessed be, and happy holidays, y'all.